Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1. Paul said in verse number 9, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you." That ought to be the reason we go to church, ain't it? Because we long to see each other, but watch this now, and we long to see him. What was it that Philip said, or they said to Philip, "Sirs, we would see Jesus." Amen? And the Word of God said here, "I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to the end that you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come to you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles." That verse right there is telling us, even the man of God that Paul was, his plans didn't always work out, Brother Steve. He had it in his heart, he wanted to go, but it didn't always work out. In verse number 14, he said, "I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise." That verse of Scripture is telling us that the Apostle Paul is no respecter of persons. I've mentioned to the church before that I'm so thankful to be able to pastor a church where a little young'un can come in that maybe hadn't had breakfast, maybe doesn't smell good, maybe doesn't have good manners, but just as welcome as one of our deacons in the house of God. And I believe it's that way at God's table. The Word of God said, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." I'll not get through with all those verses tonight, but we'll get started. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the book of Romans. God, it's a precious book. Lord, it's full of instruction. It tells us, Lord, even though it was written 2,000 years ago, it's telling us where we're at today. The Word of God, Lord, is always relevant. It's always right. And it's always to be respected. God, I pray that you would raise up a respect in America once again for the Word of God. God, will give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We didn't know for sure, but I do believe the Lord, as I prayed this morning and began to look at the text, I believe the Lord's kind of warming my heart more and more towards this book of Romans. And I want to get into it with you and hope that it'll be a blessing. In verse number 9, and the Bible said here, "God is my witness." Beloved, God knows. God knows what we do. God knows why we do it. The Word of God said here that I serve him with my spirit. One thing it won't take long to learn if you haven't learned it. You can't serve God in the flesh. We must serve God from the heart. We must serve God from that inner man. I believe that's what the judgment seat of Christ is all about. When the works are tried, they can all be good works, but they're tried so as by fire. And what comes out is the motive. I mean, there's some people that put money in an offering plate because they love Jesus. There's other people that put money in an offering plate to be seen. Are you listening to me tonight? Am I right or am I wrong? There's some people to go to church, Brother Ralph, because they love Jesus. There's other people go to church because it's good for their business. I'm telling you, it's nothing more than a social club for many people in America. But thank God, God knows the difference. And Paul said, I'm serving the Lord in my spirit. It's from the inside. Amen. By the way, I want to say this. I don't believe it takes God people long to figure it out. You stand a man up here that's just trying to impress you with his intellect. Say amen. Just trying to impress you with his vocabulary. Just trying to impress you with his knowledge. That's one thing I think I've told you, Brother Houston, when Brother James Jones was here. That man of God's got more knowledge of this book than his little finger than I'll ever have in my whole body. But you can sit down. Brother Don McCann, same way. But you can sit down, and they're humble men. They're not trying to intimidate you with their knowledge. You want to know why? They serve God with their spirit. They love Him. And they love God's people. And they love sinners. And I believe that's where revival comes from. Amen. It's from the inside. Well, y'all may not believe this, but I planned on starting in verse 14. I'll get there in a minute. Amen. I just went back and read over that, and the Lord spoke to my heart about that, making requests. That's good enough reason right there to just keep making prayer requests, isn't it? Making mention of you always in my prayers. As I've went down the road, Brother Steve, you probably got somebody like this in your life. Brother John, you probably got somebody like this in your life. Everybody that's ever preached much or been around the church much has got somebody that'll tell you this. It's humbling. They'll say, I pray for you every day. I'm going to tell you something, that's humbling. Did y'all ever know Stennett Blue? Brother Stennett, one of the, Brother Rose, I'm telling you right, probably the best preacher on missions that you'll ever hear in your life, Brother Stennett Blue. Brother Stennett told me after he met me the first time, he'd come along and got together in a Rock of Ages meeting. He said, Brother Vinoy, I pray for you every day. He's in heaven now. And I believe Paul was like that. I believe he was a man that was faithful to pray. He said, I long to see you that I may impart. I got something. You know, I love it. He's not longing to see him so he can get something. He's longing to see him because he's got something he wants to give them. I say, God help a preacher or a teacher that ain't got something he wants to give the people. Amen. And he's got something. He said, I want to impart some spiritual gift to the end that you may be established. And by the way, when people are having trouble being faithful, it's because they're not established. Say amen. If we get established, then we'll want to do what's right. We'll want to be faithful to the things of God. Verse number 12, he said, that is that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Paul in that verse right there is saying, listen, faith is faith. Bible faith is Bible faith, whether it's in the pulpit or the pew. It's mutual. We've both heard the gospel. We both believed the gospel. We both received the gospel. My shoulder just told me to settle down. But anyway, God's good. And the Apostle Paul here is telling them that they have that mutual faith. In verse number 13, now I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, that oft times, he said, I want you to know something. Oft times I wanted to come. And I wanted to see you, but was led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I'll just say this to you. I don't believe there's anything in the world that pleases God's men. I said God's men. Everybody stands in a pulpit, it's not God's man. But there's nothing in the world that pleases God's men any more than watching people bear fruit to the glory of God. Watching people grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That should be the heart desire of every Sunday school teacher. That should be the heart's desire of every pastor. That should be the heart's desire of every daddy to watch his children grow in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. of every mother, of every mamaw, of every papaw. That ought to be our heart's desire. Now in verse number 14, this is where I intended to start tonight. We're there. Let's go ahead and get started. In verse number 14, I want to show you something in verse 14, 15, and 16 tonight. The three things I want to talk about for just a little while are Paul's burden in verse number 14, Paul's boldness in verse number 15, and Paul's belief in verse number 16. All of these are needed in the church today. I don't believe that we will ever see a genuine, heaven-sent, Holy Ghost revival without these three things being present. We see his burden, we see his boldness, and we see his belief. You know what, that sheriff that stood a while ago, you notice where he said, we made that oath unto God? That took boldness, Brother Steve, to stand there. It took boldness to stand up. He's not trying to pick a fight, but he's just warning them, if you want one, you're going to get it. We're not going to roll over and play dead. We're not going to evacuate the police precinct while you burn it down. The Apostle Paul has a boldness, not just about the social issues of the day, but about the scriptural issues of the day. He said, I'm a debtor. He has a burden. You remember the Apostle Paul in Romans 9 and 3. He's called to be an apostle to the Gentiles. But that did not relieve him of his burden for his kinsmen, for Israel. He's carrying a burden for the church. That was one of the things when I was a missionary. I tried to tell some of our men, they struggled. I said, fellas, you're going in the church to see what you can get. Why don't you get before God and go in the church to see what you can give? I said, that pastor's hurting. His people are hurting. Go in there and give them something for the glory of God. God will meet the needs. I don't know how many times when I was trying to raise support, God would burden my heart and I didn't want to, but I'd mount the pulpit and have to preach a message on hell. You want to know why? A burden. I remember on Easter Sunday one time, you know, missionary hardly ever gets to preach on Easter Sunday, but the pastor was sick. I went into there and I said, folks, God don't want us to preach on the resurrection. I'd like to, I'm prepared to, but I said, God wants us to witness a resurrection. I said, somebody's dead and trespasses in sin in this building, and God wants to save them this morning. And right back on Easter Sunday, I preached on five reasons why I don't want to go to hell and one reason why I'm not. And the family from Florida was in that service. And three walked the aisle and said yes to the Lamb of God that morning. I want to ask you this. Where's our burden? Brother John, as I studied today and prayed today, God convicted me. I would be a bald-faced liar if I stood here today and told you that my burden for souls is just as intense and just as hot as it always has been. I'd be a liar. Where's our burden? Here's a man that said, I'm debtor, I owe it to him. The Apostle Paul in Romans said, I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. Turn back to Exodus chapter number 32. Where's our burden? Where's our burden for our families? Where's our burden for our communities? Where's our burden for our country? Where's our burden? Amen. For souls. In Exodus chapter 32, I wanted to read a lot more of this, but I think I'll come on down. And you understand that Moses is up on the mountain. He's getting the law of God. And he comes down off of the mountain and he finds the people naked. He finds the golden image. He finds the people doing exactly contrary to God's will for their life. I don't know about you, but I think a lot's going to be revealed in the life of Moses right here. If you look with me, let's just start reading in verse number 29. For Moses had said, consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, even every man upon his son and upon his brother, that you may bestow, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, ye have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up unto the Lord. Peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin. And Moses returned unto the Lord, and said, oh, I believe there's that oh in desperation in prayer. Oh, this people have sinned a great sin, and it made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, look at this, and if not, you tell me where this kind of burden is today. That the Apostle Paul would say, I could wish myself accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Look at Moses' burden. He said, and if not, God, if you won't forgive them, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. Where's that kind of burden today? Where's that kind of leadership today that, like the prophets of old, Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel, that would identify with the sins of the nation and beg God to forgive them? You see, all these years, listen to me, it's out on the outside now and it's looking pretty rough. But I'm going to tell you something, all these years, we've been putting a stamp of approval. You know, they said back yonder before that last election that there's against same-sex marriage. They got elected about 2 or 3 months. They changed their mind. I'll tell you something, God ain't changed his mind. All these years we've been aborting them babies. And you say, oh, preacher, it didn't bother me. I'm going to tell you something, it bothers God. Amen. And where's the burden? Where's the burden? Where's the burden in the pulpit? Where's the burden in the pew? Where's the burden in the home? Where's the burden? Paul said he could wish himself a curse. He said there in the book of Romans, I'm a debtor both to the Jew and the Greek. The Greeks, the barbarians, wise, the unwise. Watch this now. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Therefore now, go, lead the people unto the place which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, mine angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them. And the Lord plagued the people because they made the calf which Aaron made. I just wanted you to see in the middle of all this, a man that said, God, if you can't forgive them, blot me out of thy book. Oh, I'll tell you tonight, I thank God. Listen, first of all, you can't muster up a burden. That ain't something you and I can produce. But I tell you what, the burden comes from walking with God. The burden comes from above. When we walk with God, we begin to get interested in the things He's interested in. And I'll tell you this tonight, there's nothing in this world He's more interested in than the souls of men. There's nothing in this world He's more interested in than the souls of men. We see Paul's burden. Look with me, if you will, at Paul's boldness. He said, so as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you there at Rome also. I believe that it didn't matter where Paul went, the message was the same. It didn't matter where he went. The Bible said, I believe it was in, I used to could quote this, Romans chapter 10, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. That's what the Word of God said. Paul was writing it down under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost in chapter 10. But in chapter 1, he's saying, listen, this bug's already bit me. I love this gospel. I love my God. And I'm bold enough to stand and say, and stand and preach the Word of God. It's a blessing. The Word of God said in 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. I'm not picking tonight, but I'm telling you, in fundamental churches, that word just means Bible-believing churches, people that believe the book is the final authority, not the pulpit, amen, not the deacons, but the Bible is the final authority. You'd be surprised how many people in fundamental churches, if somebody said, are you going to heaven? They'd say, yeah. And if you said, how do you know? You'd be surprised how many people in fundamental churches would give different answers to that. If you had to answer it in one word, you'd just have to say Jesus. Amen. If you wanted to explain it a little bit, he died for me. Amen. I was an old wretched sinner, and he took my sin to the cross. I've trusted him, believed on him, turned from my sin, turned to the Savior. The Word of God calls that repentance, knowing that the third day he arose according to the Scripture. And every born-again believer can say this, he changed my life. Brother Ralph, the song we sing in the choir, you ask me how I know he lives, because he lives right there in my heart and in my life. Amen. We see Paul's boldness. Sanctify the Lord in your heart. Be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that's in you with meekness and fear. The last thing tonight is Paul's belief. I had more, but I'll just get verse 16 a little bit and we'll go. He said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Let me say this to you tonight. What you and I think is really not going to help people a whole lot. But what God says, what it say in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Brother Grizzle, I don't know how many years ago it's been now, three or four, that was it Brother Allen, was it Brother Allen Brooks we helped with the Bibles? I believe that's right, isn't it? And Brother Grizzle, he lit up like a Christmas tree when he found out about this project. You say, you bragging on Brother Grizzle? No, God lives down inside of Brother Grizzle. And what excites God excites Brother Grizzle. You know why Brother Grizzle got excited? He knew there was a bunch of school youngins was going to get a copy of the Word of God. Brother Grizzle, they ain't all going to read it, but some of them are. They ain't all going to go to heaven, but praise God, some of them are. You can give out the Bibles in the prison. They're not all going to read it. Some of them will turn, cut the pages out, roll the back up in it, and smoke it. But some of them will read it and get saved and won't be smoking all of their life in hell. Amen. God gave Paul the right belief. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He told us later, 1 Corinthians 15, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, how that Christ died for our sin according to the Scripture, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scripture. You know, Brother Steve, we see this often nowadays, and actually if we started up with the children's ministries, I hope we can get past this, but I'd already talked to the van drivers. We're going to have to get a thermometer and make sure that they're not getting on the van or going in a classroom with a fever. And you see it in the news a lot. You know, they're checking somebody. You can even see it in businesses sometimes where they're checking somebody. I
Bob, I think you have to do that down where you work. He's one of the managers down there and have to check everybody that comes in. Well, let me help you tonight with your spiritual temperature. Amen. If somebody read to you tonight, or if you read it with your own eyes, John 3:16, would it do anything for you? Take your temperature. If John 3:16 gets old and gets bland, we need to check up. For God so loved the world. You know what that means? That means even the ones, Brother Steve, that's got that, I don't know how to spell it, but I think I can say it, that Molotov cocktail, is that what you call the thing? Bottle of gas with a rag in it, throwing it in a business. You might not like what I'm going to say, but Jesus died for that fella. Just same as he died for you and I. And you might not like what I'm going to say, but Bob, it's the grace of God. It's not you and I. You had a daddy that loved you enough to jerk a knot in your tail when you needed a knot in your tail. No one lets you go your own way. And one day Bob got saved. What a blessing. God so loved the world. I think about that little baby. Listen to me. I may not be thinking right, but I just want to explain to you how I think. That baby's better off than if that baby was going to grow up in that community and be a whore or a harlot. Say amen. That baby's with Jesus. Standing inside the bedroom window and a bullet goes through her head. Yes, the world's in a mess, but God loves the world. And he paid the ultimate price for our sin. I believe when Paul went down there to Rome, Brother Steve, I don't believe it was all peaches and cream. Sin is sin and it's everywhere. Amen. But he went down there with the right belief. I heard someone say this, if you believe right, you'll behave right. You say, preacher, they're not behaving. Well, that's just an indication they're not believing. Because I believe that the gospel changes lives. I want to read this to you. This comes out of Our Daily Bread, February the 4th of 1994. Fritz Kreisler, he lived from 1875 to 1962. The world-famous violinist, he earned a fortune with his concerts and his compositions, but he generously gave most of it away. So when he discovered an exquisite violin on one of his trips, he wasn't able to buy it. Later, having raised enough money to meet the asking price, he returned to the seller, hoping to purchase the beautiful instrument. But to his great dismay, it had been sold to a collector. Kreisler made his way to the new owner's home and offered to buy the violin. The collector said it had become his prized possession, and he would not sell it. Keenly disappointed, Kreisler was about to leave when he had an idea. He said, could I play the instrument once more before it is consigned to silence? He asked. Permission was granted. And the great music filled the room with such heart-warming notes that the collector's emotions were deeply stirred. The collector said this, I have no right to keep that to myself. It's yours, Mr. Kreisler. Take it into the world and let the people hear it. You know what God would say to us of the gospel? You have no right to keep that to yourself. Take it into the world and let the people hear it. Paul said, I'm debtor. Paul said, I'm ready. And Paul said, I'm not ashamed. How many's glad you come tonight? You remember the Old Testament story where they went in there and after the Lord had given the great victory, made people afraid, and they ran out of the camp, and these people thought they were going to die. I believe they were lepers. I believe that's right. And they got in there, and they started gathering the spoils, Brother Steve. And then they remembered the people that were starving. And they said, if we hold our peace, we do not well. I'll tell you tonight, everybody in this room that's saved by the grace of God has a treasure living down on the inside of you. And if we don't let him out, we do not well. We do not well. How many believes that tonight? Thank you for coming.